Good morning and welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony. It's a blessing to be here with you all. Thank you for joining this morning. My name is Ken Ely. I'm sitting in for Peter, who's with our youth this morning. So I just have a few announcements. First, if you're visiting for the first time, there will be someone on the other side of the bridge at a welcome table. To greet you and give you some materials and talk through the teachings of the church. The Bernadette video series is being shared at 12:30 today and then also on Wednesday for those that have started that and are interested, Wednesday at 7:15. There's a half-day centering prayer retreat being offered on December 15th. From 8:30 to 12:30. We want to thank everyone for the donations for Pine Ridge. They've been very generous. We've been able to purchase firewood or propane for 24 homes for the elderly of Lakota Sioux. So thank you all for that. Also want to thank Jim McCune and the team for decorating our sanctuary and our grounds. They're really beautiful. And last, we want to recognize and be with the members of our church that are actually on retreat at Cedar Break, Advent retreat at this time. So now let's take a moment in silence to ask the Spirit to bless us in worship. Amen. Let us stand and join in singing "The Gospel in One Word is Love."
The gospel in one word is love.
Most gracious and loving God, creator of the universe and this and every moment, pour out your spirit on our worship. Open our minds and open our hearts, and send us home transformed. We pray this in your most holy threefold name. Omnipresent Father, transcendent Father, omnipresent Son, immanent, indwelling, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please join me in listening for God's word. Our reading is taken from Luke 1. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love.
I must say that Friday night, when I was laying in bed and thinking about our time this morning, there was something that was bugging me about today and the way my sharing was unfolding. That there was something more important about today that was not coming through. Of course, I knew it was the first day of Advent. I was raised Catholic. Advent's always been a part of my life. I went to Catholic school for 8 years. We attended, I was a practicing Catholic until we arrived here at CCH 18 years ago. And of course, Advent has emerged as kind of an anchor in this church as well. It's one of the key celebrations. But I will say, I've not considered Advent outside the context of Christmas, with the context of the preparation for Christmas, which of course it is, and just pondering that alone is enough. But Advent, as I'm becoming more attuned to, is also the first season of the liturgical year. Now, although I've certainly been aware of the liturgical year and its seasons, I must say I've not given a whole lot of attention. But like many of the ideas that are offered here, for me, they often germinate like a seed that can be dormant for a long time. And it seems that the liturgy and the liturgical calendar are what I sense big ideas that are worth deep consideration and pondering, something that I will be holding as perhaps shaping my aim for this coming year. And the liturgy and the liturgical calendar, not really the focus of my talk today. However, what struck me about today is that today is the first day of the liturgical year. Today is the beginning of a new year. So, Happy New Year. Now, I'm no wisdom teacher. I'm only sharing what seems important to me, and I hope in some way can be meaningful to you. But if I had that one insight, it seems that considering today as the beginning of the new year and that Christmas is at the beginning, not the end of the year, seems important. What a way to start a year, by preparing for the birth of a child, the coming of the light of Christ. Now, realizing this, and for me, claiming today that marks the beginning of a new year and the end of an old one, particularly last year, was a big relief for me yesterday. A year that I'm happy to put in the books, and not just even happier to put in the books today and not wait another 30 days. For me, the last year has been at the same time one of the most difficult and the most rewarding years of my journey. Now, to be clear, I live a truly blessed life in the world. There would be nothing in the world sense that I could point to as a reference to a difficult emotional year. This was all between God and me. It was all internal. And I won't go into the details on that, but just to say, for me, it was all just about being real, not trying to be someone that I'm not, not playing a role that's not mine to play. In my business world, we say, just fly your slot. And I never liked that, being confined to one role or being told what to do. I mean, when it's obvious what someone should be doing or what they should be saying, you should tell them, right? We gave my daughter, one of my daughters, not to be named, a shirt that characterizes it best. It says, "I'm not bossy, I just know what you should be doing." I apologize to her often for inheriting that trait from me. I'm not an expert by any means on spiritual matters, but I can confidently say that I've mastered one thing in this spiritual journey, and that is creating what the work of inner Christianity calls second force. For those that are not familiar, first force is the initiating force, second force, the reaction. Yes, I've become so good at creating second force that all I have to do is begin speaking. How many times I've had to learn that one? I actually considered spending our time this morning in silence. One thing I've observed above all others for me is that when I try to be something other than what I am and play roles that are not mine to play, I create more problems for myself and for others. I play a lot of roles in the world, as we all do. I'm a husband, a dad, an engineer, a problem solver, a business leader, a mentor, a friend, a son, a brother. I'm also a man that has recognized that God is the center of my life. I just don't talk about that much. Over the years, I've had different images of what it means to be a spiritual man, none of which were true for me. I've never been to an ashram in India or a monastery of any kind. I've barely skimmed the surface of the readings of the important spiritual books that we offer here, although I've read a few. I've not walked or talked with the spiritual teachers that are so often referenced and have been so foundational to this church. Spiritual words and prayers don't flow off of my lips. I don't have to do those things, largely because of those that walked before me that did it. Tim and Barbara, the rest of your board, Peter, the prior incarnation of the 10th Man School over almost 3 decades. I owe each of them, and all of them, everything. I owe all of you everything. Because I can be just a guy that continues to give myself to God. Because everything I've needed for my journey is right here at CCH. It's at the retreat house in Cedar Break. And in our home in Northwest Hills. The irony is the very thing that I've resisted my entire life, following the plan, having a plan, coming under authority, that's a big one, doing what I'm told and flying my slot is the very thing that's leading me to increasing levels of freedom and deepening my relationship with God. This church offers and teaches basic disciplines that lead to freedom. Get up at 5 a.m, read scripture, read a commentary, do centering prayer for 20 minutes twice a day, learn and apply the work of inner Christianity, serve others, tithe. Now I know I'm preaching to the choir for some, and for maybe some this sounds overwhelming. But to the latter, I can only say how great it is to be overwhelmed by God. So rather than playing others' roles or telling other people what they should be doing, I'm now more often silent and just listening. Now, it's no cakewalk. It's not easy. It's a daily struggle. But more silence is creeping in. How wonderful it has become to discover the thing that has caused the most pain in my life has been transformed into a gift. By listening to others, truly listening, not analyzing, not thinking about what they're saying and what my response might be, but truly just listening to what they're saying and letting them play their role, I can begin to understand. I can begin to communicate. Now, the theme I was given for this morning is waiting for the light. On the surface, I must admit that that theme did not land for me. But that idea, waiting for the light, did begin to germinate, like Lectio Divina. Those four little words have revealed and continue to reveal untold treasures to me personally. Not that I can really explain, to be honest. But I will share just a few reflections from my journey on waiting for the light. I'll try to keep it simple. The first observation is perhaps somewhat obvious. Like the sun, the light is always available. It's always shining everywhere for all time. The light is never not present. The Spirit is not behind some curtain switching on and off the light just at the right time so that Ken gets an insight. So if the light is always on and shining, then what is the waiting for? In one sense, I could say it's God doing the waiting with infinite mercy and compassion, like the father of the prodigal son. It's been my experience, at least, in centering prayer. God is always present. It's me that needs to slow down just enough to be aware and awake to God's presence. The waiting is not something imposed on me by God as some sort of test. There does not seem to be some council of angels assessing my progress on the journey and making a recommendation to God. Ken's not quite ready. Let's have him wait a little longer. Although it does feel like that along the way. So the waiting has more to do, in part at least, with my orientation to God. It's like the Earth's northern hemisphere at this time of year. It gets darker. It's not because the sun is somehow restricting the light, but because the Earth's orientation to the sun, it's just tilted away. So this orientation to God is, in essence, giving my attention to God. Seems simple enough, until I forget. I need markers, reminders to reorient me to the light. In centering prayer, that marker is the sacred word. I can use the sacred word and reorient to the light. Sometimes I need a lot of markers. In our service, we have a number of markers that orient us to the light. We have the music. We have readings. We have the minister's message, this one notwithstanding. At the end of our service, we have the procession of children. Now, this one has always been my favorite part of the service. It's my favorite marker of the light. For a little more than 16 years, I've had the blessing of sitting down there and watching as my children and my beloved come up to the stage at the end of the service during Amazing Grace. And you know, it's so true when they say your kids grow up fast. Just a couple of years ago, my two oldest, Miranda and Kira, crossed this stage for the last time. And I remember this feeling of loss. Small mourning, if you will. But there were still a couple more years to go. And then earlier this year, Alana walked across the stage for the last time. And then just a couple weeks ago, Sandy retired from Godly Play. But the incredible thing is I have this wonderful memory. It's like a time capsule movie that I can play. It's not like any other memory because they all happened right here. I will always have that. Not as a past to hold on to, but something to remember. The light. So that the light has been always with me, and it always will be. Now in the Eucharist, we have much more than just a reminder. It is the light. The Eucharist is a mystery beyond all mysteries, and I don't have anything to add to that. But I would simply say that in the Eucharist, we take in the light, and it becomes one with us. Now, that's not my reflection. That's Father Keating's teaching. But it has been my experience. And it is really something to ponder deeply. If the light is already one with me and inside me, then I must be waiting to let it out, or at least to let it shine through me. So what have I been waiting for? What I've observed is that beyond an orientation to God, I'm holding a filter, so to speak, in front of the light. This is best described that I found by St. John of the Cross in a passage that I found in Bernadette's book, The Path to No Self. Here St. John is highlighting that our union with the light is a, in Bernadette's words, a pre-existing reality, that the light is already one with us. So here's the short passage from St. John. A ray of sunlight shining upon a smudgy window is unable to illumine that window completely and transform it into its own light. It could do this if the window were cleaned and polished. The extent of illumination is not dependent upon the ray of sunlight, but upon the window. If the window is totally clean and pure, the sunlight will so transform and illumine it that to all appearances the window will be identical with the ray of sunlight and shine just as the sun's ray. Although obviously the nature of the window is distinct from that of the sun's ray, even if the two seem identical, we can assert that the window is the ray or light of the sun by participation. He finishes, the soul upon which the divine light of God's being is ever shining, or better, in which it is always dwelling by nature, is like this window, as we have affirmed. So how do I clean and polish the window, so to speak? And what does that have to do with waiting? For me, waiting is analogous to what Bernadette refers to as active passivity. Now just think about that phrase. Active passivity. That phrase implies to me an attentive action associated with waiting. I'm not actually making anything happen. I'm waiting. But I'm actively waiting in an alert anticipation. In my experience, that active passivity is an act of faith rooted in a trusting God that began with experience of God. In the Mark last month, I shared how a desperate call to God in the hospital was instantly answered. It was many experiences of God that formed the foundation of faith. And it is this rock-solid foundation of faith that allows me to hold steady as the light does its work. In my experience, it is the light itself that's doing the cleaning and polishing, not me. It's kind of a boring out from the inside. This past year felt like God brought in the heavy equipment. My contribution primarily is to simply do the practices consistently, to reorient myself as often as possible in every moment I can remember, to point myself back at the light so that it can do its work. Beyond the practices and waiting, though, there is an underlying motion that has been key to the process for me. And that's letting go. Ultimately, it seems that the light can only do its work as long as I'm willing. I have to say yes. In my experience, every yes is an ending of my old way of living, and a beginning or a birth of something new. So what does all that have to do with Advent and the coming of the light of Christ? You know, for the longest time, that icon on the wall behind you, the Theotokos, or the Mother of God, has perplexed me. I've heard Tim and Peter talk about it, and I've seen a number of you stop and adore it. But I've struggled with it. And just a few days ago, I received a little insight that brings it all together for me. You see, you have Mary with her hands raised as a way of letting go, almost a universal sign of I give up. And at her fingertips are the angels. Their wings just barely touching, not holding her hands up, but letting her know that she's not alone as she lets go and lets the light of Christ shine through. Advent gives us the opportunity to reorient to a different calendar, to start the year now with a yes, to let go like Mary, to wait for the light to do its work, and to commit and recommit now to the practices that will shape our year and our journey. Toward that aim, it's my humble honor as the most junior member of your board to reveal to you a new offering to deepen your journey and ours as a community in 2019. I'm going to read it to you and then just share a couple comments. You'll be hearing from other members of the board about this throughout Advent, including Lori a little bit later. So here it is. The spiritual journey, formation in the Christian contemplative life. And from Luke, behold, the kingdom of God is within you. beginning January 2019, you're invited to participate with your church community on a year-long all-church spiritual journey program. The aim of the program is to provide each of us with a foundation for deeper understanding and experience of the spiritual journey through the teaching of Thomas Keating, in concert with the teachings of the work of Inner Christianity, Bernadette Roberts, Ilya Delio, and other wisdom teachers. We wish for this year-long all-church program to support our community in its unfolding evolution and growth as we make conscious intention as a community to continue to deepen our consent to live a God-centered life and listen together for God's guidance. Please prayerfully consider the invitation and look for opportunities to sign up in early January. And if you have questions, feel free to ask Peter or a board member. I'll just share a couple aspects of the program. There will be two emails each week, one on Monday and another on Thursday. Monday's email will have an excerpt from the Spiritual Journey video series. Thursday's email will expand on the theme introduced on Monday and include other voices and related teachings, and often a more recent Thomas Keating video segment. And there will be transcripts for all the videos. Secondly, weekly in-person or online Zoom journey groups will be offered. And these groups are for reflection, questions, and sharing with others in a small group, second line-like format. You can sign up for the journey groups also beginning in January. My friends, this is truly one of a kind offering. When I joined this church, I dove into the work of Inner Christianity and centering prayer. And over time, I took on a number of classes in small group format. I attended extended retreats, and I read a number of spiritual books, including Bernadette and Ilya, over time. But I would say in those early years, I felt like I was working a 10,000-piece jigsaw puzzle, where there was no picture on the box, there were no edge pieces, and all the pieces were different shades of gray. It was not until probably about 5 or 6 years in, when I attended my first retreat, where Thomas Keating's spiritual video series was shared, that it all started to come together for me. To have an offering like this that brings together the two legs of our church, centering prayer and the work of Inner Christianity, along with other wisdom teachers, it's extraordinary. It's an opportunity not only to reinforce our commitment to the teachings as a foundation of the church, but by doing it together in active participation to strengthen our community. I know I don't sound very excited this morning, but I could not be more excited about this offering And I will pray with you as you consider your participation. Amen. Now let's give our hearts to song.
So this morning, you will need to look at the words on your insert, because there are a lot of words.
So I'm sitting here at this different time to tell you about the new offering. And Ken, there's nothing left to say. You said it all. But I am very excited about this new offering, the spiritual journey, formation in the Christian contemplative life. It is new. We've never done anything quite like this. And personally, a couple of things that strike me about it is, one, it's all of us joining together with a combined intention. And I have seen in my years with this church the power of that, the power of each of us individually and all of us collectively saying yes to a common intention. And so to use some of the metaphors that Ken was talking about, it's as if each of us is a facet of Christ. And all of us together is a many-faceted prism of Christ that helps to focus the light, bring in and focus the light. And interestingly enough, this morning, as Tom and I were getting ready to come here to get ready for church, the power went off. We heard a transformer blow in our neighborhood, and suddenly the house was thrown into darkness. And so, okay, all right, we've got this, you know. We've got a lantern, brought it into the bathroom, you know, carried it around. Is that a black sweater, a blue sweater, or this? You know. So we had some tools, and we got by. But when the lights came on again, so much gratitude for Austin Energy. And that's what it is when we join together. It allows us to receive individually and collectively more of the gifts that are available. Of course, God can transform each of us no matter what the circumstances. But coming together with a combined wish is like the lights coming on. It brings us more energy, the ability to receive more energy, more power, more light in our lives and for our journeys. And another thing that I'm particularly that speaks to my heart is this opportunity for journey groups. I can testify that when we come together to take in this material as knowledge, but then try it on in our own experience, when we come together in a small group, that is a vehicle for transforming grace. And so I'm really excited about the journey group aspect of this too. And so I hope that you will all join me and many of our friends in accepting this invitation to bring in more of the light. Thank you. And I'll just conclude again with Luke 17:21. Feeling our feet on the ground, we know this in all three centers of our body, all three centers. Behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Amen. And so now is the time in our service when we take our tithes and offerings in our hand to bless the church that feeds us, in a way. This is like a prism. We focus, we receive the light, the many blessings that God pours into our lives, and we focus it into this moment, that it may continue its journey and bless all of us individually and all of creation collectively. And taking our tithes and offerings into our hands, we know together that God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully, and how blessed we are to simply remember God. Amen. awake and alive with the living spirit of Christ in gratitude and joy. We dedicate and consecrate these gifts to the victory of consciously chosen love in each of our lives and across our planet, over the lie that we are separate and are useless acting out from fear. In Christ we pray. Amen. Let us now rest in the silence for 10 minutes of centering prayer, which is the contemplative way of consenting to God's love, presence, and action in our lives. Please join me in praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
Let us pray and prepare ourselves to receive the light. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now and that we know that you always hear us. It is you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us the faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup. Again, he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, drink from it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and the everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ.
Thank you.
living and eternal Christ. We feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God our Father, for the glory of his kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let us stand for a final song. Let us go forth and let the light out. Happy New Year. Amen.